Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves, you're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit ncl.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry, the Bahamas and USA.
The Burt Show.
So Tammy here needs some Burt Show community love because she's in a tough spot at work. And not only is it rough for her where she's working now, but she thinks there's somebody in the office that's doing some such hateful things to her that it is going to affect her future jobs as well.
Okay.
And she's not exactly sure how to handle it. Hey, Tammy.
Hey.
Good morning. Hi. You're on The Voice Disguiser.
All right.
All right, so what's going on in the office that could be so bad that it's affecting now, but also future jobs that you don't even have yet?
Well, I don't know if I'm allowed to, like, cuss or anything with you guys, but this guy's, like, going around calling me a V-I-T-C-H at the office, the salespeople that work there, and also our vendors. I don't know what his problem is. I don't know if he feels threatened with me because I know a bunch of stuff about him.
Have you ever threatened to use the stuff that you know about him in a negative way or anything? Like what?
Oh, I've never said anything to him about what he's done. I mean, what he's done is awful, but, you know, I've never, ever used that over him. It's just, I guess he thinks because I know all this stuff that if people become friends with me or have conversations with me, that I'm going to let all this out because I am the office manager, human resource person, and there's just a lot of stuff that's happened.
That's an interesting question. Like, who does a human resources person go to if they're the ones being harassed? let me ask you this, though. It's an obvious question. What is some of the stuff that you have on him that he's nervous that would come out? Is it personal stuff? Is it professional stuff?
He's done a lot of stuff with our company credit card that is like a no-no, and I know that if he worked anywhere else, he would be gone. And he's got some pretty serious addictions. So, you know, supposedly he was supposed to be getting help for these addictions, and it's only gotten worse. And now, you know, it's like I have people who have worked at our office and are gone and now have, you know, I'm still friends with, and they've come back and told me, you know, some things that he has said about me, which I think is absolutely ridiculous.
Well, you're the HR person. Aren't you supposed to know how to deal with these situations?
Yeah. Well, you would think, but, you know, he's got air balls pretty wrapped around his finger. I mean, he thinks, you know, where he works, he's the only one that knows everything about everything.
Now, it's at the point where it sounds a little petty. So there's two sides to every story. So if you were defending him, because I'm curious, if the boss is wrapped around his finger, he's talking to the vendors, he's using, you know, derogatory terms when it comes to you. How would you argue his side of the story? Like, why is he targeting you if you've never had a hostile interaction with him? Or have you?
No, it's just, I think because I know stuff, I think he feels threatened with me.
And you've never...
Your interactions with each other, are they tense? Are they mean?
We don't really talk. It's hand me this, hand me that.
Yeah, I think
it's so murky. Like,
yeah, you're leaving a big chunk of the story out. Something happened.
Yeah.
You can't say because I think he... You keep going back to the I think he feels threatened type of a thing.
Well, if you just knew the stuff that I knew, which I really can't go,
But what you know, we can accept that you know significant things about him.
Uh-huh.
What have you said to him, or what has given him the impression that, like, do you think maybe in a social conversation you said something to a coworker that was inappropriate, you as the HR director, that may have gotten back to him, and now he thinks you're spreading gossip? Could that have happened?
Because, I mean...
No, I just really, I tell you, the people that have worked there and that have gotten let go by this particular person...
But see, you're going back into what he's doing. Like, you're talking about him and your friends from ex-employees. You're gossiping about him. Like, you know, like, for instance, I have a very professional relationship with our HR person. I've worked with her for many years. And there's no reason for me to go around and start calling her names.
It just doesn't happen.
Yeah, out of the blue. Like, they're... Something doesn't make sense here.
Tammy, as the HR person... If we're not talking about you, if an employee came to you with the very same problem as the HR person, what's the advice that you give to them?
I would tell them to talk about it with that person, if they could.
Have you talked about it with that person?
Yeah, I have. I've confronted him.
Okay.
And what did he say?
He denied it.
He said, there's nothing going on here. It's all in your head.
He said, oh, I would never do that. I would never.
So how do you know the vendors... the conversation he's had with the vendors, how are you aware of that?
Because they've told me.
They've come back this guy's
calling. Yeah, because I'm like, you know, there's just been some instances where people have come into our office and, you know, they're not allowed to, I mean, they don't speak to me or anything, you know, and I'm like, this is weird.
Tammy, because you feel like you need to... sort of protect your identity and you can't give us the details, most people are calling up saying there's nothing they can do for you because we can't really connect with your story because we just don't have details.
I just wonder, like, in more of a general sense, like, what do you do when somebody's hateful to you at work?
You go to boss, right? I mean, if you're the HR person, the only other person for you to go to is the boss, correct?
And he don't want to hear it.
See, have you tried?
But you should
be able to file some sort of like official complaint about this like badgering or hateful behavior happening, right?
Look, it's kind of hard to do something to someone that the boss really, you know, cares about, I guess you could say, because, you know, when I go to this particular person, like my boss, he doesn't want to hear that. He don't want to hear anything, you know, and... If you say anything, you're picking on him.
Well, here's what I'm hearing, because I certainly have been guilty of nonsense in my past, maybe even yesterday or last week or recently.
Between 6 and 6:30, I think it happened a couple times.
But you're guilty of something, and you know it, or else you would go to the boss. Like, the only reason I would hesitate talking to a boss who even had a teacher's pet employee is if I was also guilty of something, if there was something. Because if you go to the... If this guy's harassing you and talking badly to you to mutual business relationships, that's something that I, as a boss, even if I loved that employee, that's something that I would want to hear. And the only reason that I could see an employee not coming to the boss is if they, too, had something on their plate that made them guilty.
Let me throw something else onto the plate here also, is that... This other employee must be contributing to the bottom line pretty well. He must be pretty productive, or the boss would listen to you and would make adjustments. I don't know if this guy's making more money than you do for the company, but professionally, there has to be a reason why the boss is sticking up for this guy.
Well, I think he just probably hit it because I don't do what he does.
Is he a sales guy and he just brings in a ton of cash to the company?
Well, not a ton, but I'm not. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So, and I think that...
Like, he's probably thinking HR people can be replaced. A salesperson that's bringing in a whole bunch of money into the company at this point is probably more difficult to replace.
Yeah, my thing also is that you can only do your part, and your part is to stay as professional as possible. I don't know about gossiping about him with ex-employees, because I'm not sure that it's not getting back to him. Obviously, if the vendors are coming to you, they care about you and they trust you, so they're reporting to you. So I wouldn't worry about the vendors and their opinions. Like, I think you're getting too worked up into the emotional part of this, and I feel like you just be professional, be the best HR person you can be, and things work out. Like, it all works out.
Let me just go ahead and take a couple of quick calls here because we don't have that too much time. Hey, Nicole, good morning. You're on Q100.
Good morning.
Hi.
Okay, so... My personal, you know, belief on this is that the only reason he would be, you know, spreading all these rumors about her is that he is just extremely threatened by the fact that she knows, you know, she has all this dirt on him, so he's probably just trying to even the playing field a bit.
I don't know. I mean, they were. Yeah.
But if you've got dirt on him, that means dirt. If there's been reports on him and you have it on file about all the things he's done, the company has that. That's not you personally trying to have a vendetta against him.
Here's Aaron. Good morning, Aaron. You're part of the Burt Show.
Good morning. How are you?
Okay, thank you.
Good. Doesn't she have like a equal opportunity employer or an office that she can go to? Like, where I work, we have an office that's set up just for this, where we go and you file a grievance. Mm-hmm. Once you file that grievance, there's a mediator that comes in. If there's witnesses to his actions, if there are people that are willing to write statements that say, yes, he said these things about her, then they can sit down at a table with a mediator and discuss it, and that be the end of it.
But, Tammy, you should know all this. As the HR person, shouldn't you be giving yourself this advice?
Well, we don't have that. Is that what she's saying? There's something at our office. I mean, we're not that big. You see what I'm saying? I don't have anything like that.
You know what? Let's give her the benefit of the doubt. And this might take us in a different direction at some other point in the show. But let's give her the benefit of the doubt. And what if she works in an office where this guy just has it out for her?
Mm-hmm.
Think Young and the Restless soap opera style. He has decided, and he has talked to his friends, he has decided he's going to do everything in his power to get her fired for whatever reason. Who knows what the scandal is? We're assuming that that doesn't happen, that this is just unbelievable, that that can't happen.
Oh, I don't assume that.
I don't assume that either. If she would give us the details then, or could give us the details. You're saying there are no other details.
What if there are no other details? What if it's, so, you know, we see it all the time on soap operas where, you know, Jen and I are talking and, you know, inside, in the house, in our living room with our shoes on. And we're having a conversation and not any shoes. Full-on dress shoes, and Jen's got her makeup completely done, and I'm probably wearing a suit.
And you never go to the bathroom.
And we're at the home. We're at a very fancy dinner table, and Jen leans over to me and says, listen, I was going to try not to get involved, but the wedding between Wendy and Carl needs to end. And I'll say, we can bring it to a stop. And you say, I'm going to call Bert and have him create a distraction. And then I'll say, you do that, and I'll call Melissa. And you know what? We'll have Melissa start a lesbian love affair with Wendy. And Jen and goes, yeah, that's a great idea.
And somebody ends up in the hospital, weirdly enough.
Right. And then next scene, our little baby who was in the corner is now 11 years old. But Melissa is in a full-on relationship with Wendy. Like, what if that happens in her office?
What are you getting at?
What if he has just gunned it out? I would be interested to hear from people who have... You can't be the victim of it because we'll never hear the whole story. You have to have just decided, I want them fired. I want them broken up. I want the marriage ended. I want them the vacation ruined. I want them out of the apartment. And you just made it happen.
I'm not sure what you're asking for. So you're not asking for the victim here?
Nope, it has to be the plotter.
He's asking for like the guy in the office that's...
You've just decided.
It out for the HR
I've
person.
Decided I want you fired, Bert.
And there's really just no reason. You just don't like
I just don't like
just
you.
Just don't like you.
And you have to do soap opera crap, man. You got to swap his urine during the drug test.
Well, Joanna could give us one of these that are... It's not office related, but it's one that happened in her life also.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Our Joanna. Oh, neat.
Yeah, now it's not office related. It has to do with a wedding.
Now, I think that still qualifies.
Okay. Yeah, it doesn't have to be work.
So she could start it off with something like that, but it has to be soap opera conniving.
I want soap opera drama. I want Young and the Restless. I want housewife watching it at 2 in the afternoon.
So what's the last thing we tell Tammy, though?
Yeah, sorry, you're screwed.
Yeah, we just don't have enough details. Yeah, this is way more entertaining.
Yeah, yours is boring. We found another direction. Where's Joanna?
All right, 404-741-Q100. You have to be the one that did the plot. I mean, you have to be the conniver. And there might not have even been a reason why you decided to do what you did, but you either ruined the wedding, you got somebody fired, manipulated a situation so badly that... And it actually worked. Because I think in 3/4 of these cases, you're like, oh, it's never going to work.
Yep, evicted.
But then it did.
The Burt Show.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
The Burt Show.
Jeff has asked a question this morning because we had a Burt Show listener on a couple of minutes ago that said that there's some weirdness going on in her office right now with a guy that's spreading a whole bunch of rumors about her. And she claims that she has some inside information about this guy, but they've never had a confrontation about it. So she's not exactly sure why he has it out for her. But for our purposes, we're just assuming, let's say you're in the office and somebody just has it out for you for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff's question was, he wanted to hear from those people that have sabotaged you either at work or in your personal life, somehow, some way, made your life a living hell and did really calculating things, really nasty things that you'd like to see in a soap opera.
Yeah, we'd like to talk to the saboteurs.
Yeah, we got
to
go soap opera style because we got a couple calls with people saying, well, I had a coworker and he forgot to call in a client, so I told the boss. That doesn't count. That's easy.
We didn't have to look far for this because producer Joanna came running in.
But this wasn't about me. I'm not the saboteur.
Right.
I know I have a friend of mine who's getting married in May, and she's going to have this beautiful wedding at West Point because that's where her fiance graduated college from. And she had her dream wedding all set up. She had the reception and the ceremony all reserved, the deposits down. Everything was good to go. And one day she gets a refund on her credit card for $500, which was part of the deposit on the reception hall. And she calls the place and she's like, why is there a refund on my reception? And they said, oh, you called and canceled. She goes, I never called and canceled. And she goes, yeah, you called and canceled a couple weeks ago. You canceled your reception and we've already booked it. We booked another wedding in that place. Well, come to find out, her fiance's ex-girlfriend called this place pretending to be her and canceled her reception.
Unbelievable.
How'd she find out? How'd she find out it was the ex-girlfriend?
Well, it was from a friend of a friend. She told someone who told someone.
Because you have to sort of brag about it to somebody. Oh, you're never going to believe what I did.
Yeah, you can't. Exactly.
You would think there'd be some cross-check there. Like they would ask, okay, what's the credit card number that's on file? Never asked any of that.
No. I mean, she has a very unique name. So I'm sure, I don't know. I think it has something to do, she has a really strange name.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing like anyone, how many people with that name? I don't know. So
that's mean.
Weird.
That is evil. Yeah.
Okay, so that's the level of mean we're looking for right there. Hey, Joe, good morning. You're on Q100.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey.
I have a story from you. I used to play professional hockey in Canada, and we had this guy that it was a complete jerk. He used to steal from us, and he used to, I don't know, no one liked this guy. He did a lot of horrible things, even tried to get our wives, you know, in bed and all that.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to kick them off the team. And only me and another teammate knew about it. We just decided we were playing from St. John's, Canada, to the United States, another team. Well, across the border, we just dug some cocaine on his bag.
Got caught at the border with all that?
Yes. Actually, he didn't get caught coming from Canada to the U.S. He actually got caught on the way back. This is back in the 90s, before the 9/11, so the borders weren't that strict, but it took 2 times for him to get caught.
How about the fact that when the first time he went over, you and your buddy who threw the cocaine in his bag were sitting in the bus going, all right, here we go. And then they're like, all right, go on, 3,
we were just hoping for that moment to happen. That's the only way to get rid of him because we talked to the coach, the manager. I mean, he stole a lot of money from us. He used to go in the locker room and take money of our wallets, even in our cars sometimes if we didn't unlock. And the manager said, well, he's under contract. We can't trade him. We can't get rid of him. We just have to wait, you know?
And most of those contracts have like a clause in it that says if you do anything really bad or illegal, then they can get out of their contract.
Exactly. So he got arrested, first of all, and he got released then.
So it worked.
Nicely done.
Wow. Total sabotage. Major.
Yeah. But it was really a bad apple anyway. So
you don't really feel bad about it even to this day, do you?
Oh, nobody knows. Maybe me and my buddy, and that's about it. I mean, it was in the papers, but the guy had a reputation of being a rowdy guy, so, I mean, it wasn't a surprise.
Okay, thanks, Joe. Appreciate it, man.
Wow.
Good morning, Lisa. You were on The Voice Disguiser. Hi.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, so I was working with this girl that she came in, for an interview, and I just hated her from the beginning. And they finally hired her, and I never understood why. And since I didn't like her, I decided I was going to make her life a not so pleasant at work. And she'd always bring snacks in to eat. She was constantly eating, so I took it upon myself to constantly throw them out. I made her look horrible in front of the boss. She would invite her about when she was supposed to be in for her shifts and make her late so that the boss would know and have to call her and tell her to get in.
So you would lie to her, so she would call you and go, what time do I have to be in? And you would say 10 o'clock when it really said 9 on the schedule?
Yep.
That's messed up. Wow.
That's awesome.
She ended up getting the axe over it?
Not over that, but the boss chose me over her, so she didn't appreciate that, so she quit.
For a promotion or something?
No, I had given my boss an ultimatum, and they chose me, and she found out about it. So she wasn't too happy that they liked me, even though I kind of didn't make her life so happy here.
So it does happen.
Yes,
it does happen.
Successful.
I mean,
and she feels good about it.
And you hear about stuff like that all the time at like pageants,
right?
How they're jacking with each other at pageants and stuff like that, but never in the day to day. I'm so stoked we took the hockey call.
That's awesome, crazy, and he justifies that all the way home.
That is one that I will take as my own story and pass that on to a friend as though it happened to me.
You're on The Burt Show.
And maybe guys can call up and tell me if I'm normal here, because I don't think this is one that women can understand.
Okay.
All right.
And I'm not sure that I understand it either, but I'll be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
So I had two doctor's appointments yesterday, and I almost hate talking about them because, man, they just make me sound so old. I got two old person's injuries right now.
Well, I think that when men go to the doctor and they do checkups or whatever, I mean, I think it takes a lot to get a guy to go to the doctor. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm taking some comfort
in
the fact
thing.
That the two injuries I got were sports related.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the knee, I had to go mm-hmm. get the MRI for the right knee yesterday. And then I was lifting in the gym like a year ago, too heavy. And I knew it, but I went for it anyway. And I gave myself a hernia. So mm-hmm. I got this nice little lump now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I know it sounds sexy and all, but it's not. So I decided yesterday to go get that checked out. My idea here was if I did have a hernia and I do have as messed up a leg as I think I have, to do both surgeries in the same day.
Okay.
So I got the consults yesterday, and Stacy wanted to go with me yesterday,
mm-hmm.
Especially to the hernia one, because when there's any kind of surgery, she wants to be in on the consult because she wants to know exactly what she's going to have to do and how she's going to have to prepare. And so she likes to go to those consults. So I was reluctant to have her go yesterday because I knew this. I just don't like her in the same doctor's office when I'm getting my junk checked.
Okay.
And that's really what it boils down to.
I can see that.
So
it's a little awkward.
You know, and mm-hmm. she's seen my junk quite a bit.
Well, y'all have been married for how long?
We've been married for 13 years and known each other for 16. So she's pretty Burt junk educated.
She's familiar with the area.
She is. So and we're in this very clinical, medically, you know, it's a medical mm-hmm. you know, surrounding. So like there shouldn't be anything awkward about it. But man, when that doctor walked in yesterday and Stacy's in the consult room, and he asked me to like to pull everything down, and he starts like fondling with my junk and stuff like that. I was really uncomfortable watching my wife have another dude handle my junk.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I can see that. That's awkward.
And there, and she said, "I don't know why you're being so homophobic about it." And I said to her, "It has nothing to do with like I think all of a sudden the doctor is going to start hooking me up." it has nothing to do with that at all. But there's something about being having another. Now, if it was a female doctor, I don't think it would have bothered me.
Oh, really? Any doctor.
Because I would think
I don't know
doctor.
That it would have bothered me as much. I don't think. So maybe there is some homophobia going on there. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I know it was awkward to have a dude handling my junk with my wife right next to me.
I understand that. It's an awkward situation, but
I've never had a guest in my gynecological appointment before.
No.
You know what
and
I mean?
That's why I'm always so amazed at how women who deliver babies have other people in there other than their husband.
Hell
or
no.
the w- that mm-hmm. they let their husband like down at that end of the bed.
Well, that's
area.
What Stacy's point was yesterday also, is like you have been in the room when I've had two children.
Right.
I mean, I've held her leg. I've cut the cord. I've seen our baby's heads crown out of that area.
Yeah.
So she's like, so how could you possibly be insecure
right.
about me mm-hmm. looking at somebody else touch your junk in a medical setting?
And you're like, I'm the vulnerable in this one. You know, I mean, like, because it's, you know.
That's vulnerable.
Yeah.
That's probably what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think you're right. You hit the nail on the head.
Yeah. Maybe so, but Yeah, that's how it all went down yesterday, and I'm still as uncomfortable talking about it today as I was yesterday.
Listen, it's the Burt Show.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
The Burt Show.
Good morning, Amanda. You're on The Burt Show, huh?
Morning, Burt Show.
Good morning.
I wanted to talk to you, Burt. I found in a magazine yesterday, I've been listening to your streak of bad luck, and I found in a magazine, Atlanta Life magazine, the name of a guy who gives fishing lessons, and he said that he had a record of catching a 1,649-pound marlin off of Hawaii. Whoa, so.
This became really chic yesterday after I told the story that I'm just I just have really bad mojo when it comes to fishing. I've taken like 10 or 15 deep sea fishing trips in some of the sports fishing capitals of the world, Venezuela, Cabo San Lucas. I've already been to Costa Rica and got skunked there, Hawaii, and I never come back with a marlin, which is what I've always wanted to do. And it became really chic yesterday in email, which I thought was funny, to relay your first time success fishing stories to me the same way Jeff did.
It was,
yeah, why would you do that?
It was an accident.
That's sad for you, Bert, but I caught my 1,600-pound marlin.
I did not intend to make it come across that way. What I was doing is I was
what?
I don't really know why I would do that. Yeah.
Didn't you catch like a marlin the very first time you ever went out fishing? Like, and it was in a lake.
No,
it wasn't like a lake.
It wasn't the first time, but I was
in a
like
septic tank.
I was like 12 years old. I think what I was doing is confirming. Remember, Bert said a lot of what happens when you marlin fish.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of other people do the work. So in order to support that theory, I was going to mention
he's going to relay it again
that the rod that was assigned to me
at 12
snagged a marlin.
At what age?
When I was like 12 or 13 years old,
right.
In the Florida Keys, where Bert just got back from
and got stuck again.
Had to rub it in.
And so
you were like, I don't want to be bothered by having to bring this marlin in. That's not even what I wanted to do.
Well, I didn't really have to do anything. It was just the pole that was assigned to me,
and they did all the work.
Yeah.
Wow, that must have been great. What a great story. Amanda, I would love to see the article. Anything would help, because I'm going to Costa Rica in a couple of weeks, and I will catch that damn fish.
Awesome. I think it's Atlanta Life magazine, so check it out, okay?
Okay, thank you. Somebody called in, if you weren't listening late, and you're a fisherman, that apparently eating bananas or having bananas anywhere near the boat before you go on it is considered really bad luck.
I was fascinated by that
in a fisherman's world.
Yeah. That is so strange.
But these stories coming in yesterday were like, the very first time I went out, I fought with a marlin for 6 hours. It was one of the greatest days of my life. Somebody else emailed me yesterday. I caught a 250-pound mako the very first time off of the Keys.
That's jacked up.
One of my friends called me yesterday and said that your fishermen were like doing the hooks wrong. Because especially if you're bottom feeding, if the bottom feeders can see the hooks, then they won't bite or some all kinds of things.
Okay. That's really sweet, but 20 times.
Yeah.
Marlin doesn't live on the bottom.
Yeah, I think some people have the mojo and others don't, and I am just cursed, jinxed when it comes to fishing.
No more bananas.
For what it's worth,
more bananas.
I did say with the banana thing, I did send that to my dad because when he comes to visit and we're up at the lake in South Carolina.
You catch a marlin every time?
We catch a marlin in the lake.
He goes in the creek, in the pond behind our house.
When it rains real hard.
He goes fishing and has never really caught anything of merit. And so I sent him the banana theory because for whatever reason, up at the lake, those little dried banana chip things are a snack of choice. Like they're always around the house. And so I said, hey, maybe that's the problem. Like, we got to get those out of the house. So no banana chips in the house this summer. And he wrote back 3 words. That's so stupid.
That's it. Somebody emailed me yesterday and obviously has been listening and knows my streak of rooting for teams that end up losing also in the championship.
No.
And tied the two together and said that I need to root for the fish. to actually not get caught, and then we'll get caught. We're living in an opposite world now.
Mm. That didn't work for the JKT.
No, it didn't work there either.
No.
Jen Hobby should be very proud of herself. 7 days now.
That's right.
Not smoking.
Yeah, yay, this is for you. This is a full week today.
Yeah.
So today by 11:30 will be a full week. So I can't quite count it as a full week yet.
Not that you're counting or anything.
Not that I'm counting or anything.
But for those of you that don't know, Jen got hypnotized a week ago to stop smoking, and it has caught.
It has worked, yeah. I mean, it's also taken a lot of personal effort, too. It's not like just like a pill you take or a light switch that goes off, but it really helped me mentally change my mind about it and just sort of gave me those kind of mental tools to get through some of the cravings, because I still have cravings, and for the first several days it was a lot of withdrawal. I think I told you guys I was having pretty bad headaches, which is normal, and then I was so thirsty, and I still even feel that way, like even now, like I'm just constantly thirsty, and I can't figure out what that is or what withdrawal symptom that is, but I am drinking water like it is going out of style, and I still feel like thirsty and dehydrated, so I don't know what that's about.
I wonder if your body's just trying to push out the nicotine and still push out all the drugs that really are associated with
it. I don't know, but I have started noticing, because people often will ask you, when you stop smoking, like, do you feel better right away? And most of the time, no, you feel kind of worse right away, actually. But this week, what's today, Wednesday? Yeah, yesterday morning and Monday morning, waking up in the morning, I felt so much better than I ever did when I was smoking.
Really?
That's great.
Yeah, because when you smoke, even if you don't smoke a lot, you wake up in the morning and you can taste it. For some reason, in the middle of the night, it like, even if you brush your teeth, do your Listerine, whatever, like seeps back up through your system or something. It's like this septic tank, like it rises to the top, and you taste it in the morning when you wake up.
Sexy.
And you can like feel it. Like, you can like feel it, but you get so used to that that's just the way that you wake up. And now that I have like sort of this comparison difference, like I wake up like, oh wow, I don't have that taste in my mouth. Oh wow, I don't feel really gross.
Do
I don't
you
have
wake
that
up
headache
in the morning feeling like P. Diddy?
No.
Oh.
Actually, I don't have a Maybach parked outside, so no, I don't feel like that. But I definitely feel better, and so that's, you know, more encouragement to keep it going.
So I'm curious, like, what he said, like, what has been the difference between you not smoking now and the failed tries before? Like, did he trigger something that when you're thinking of the cigarette, you think of something else?
Yeah, there was definitely some visual practices there, one of which where you really visualize, like, sort of this perfect picture of your best self, and that's transposed with a picture of you smoking. And so you kind of switch those pictures in your mind. It's interesting how he does it, and I can't really explain how he does it. But for whatever reason, that picture of that really healthy person that I would like to see myself as, it keeps coming into my mind. If I ever think about wanting to have a cigarette, I'm like, okay, I'm not going to get to that picture if I keep smoking.
So
it's going to be a much uglier picture.
So it just happens during cravings that you get the visuals? Or just constantly?
Yeah, it's kind of like those mental exercises to rely on. There's other like breathing techniques when you're supposed to like see a word. Like they suggest like calm. My word was like peace. And you really like visualize that word when you're doing this like sort of breathing technique. And that's supposed to help you get through the craving. So I've been relying on that. And then I just keep telling myself, like, whenever I have a craving or whenever it's funny how when you smoke and you're so used to it, you anticipate things being hard, even when they don't exist, right? Like last night I went to a girls' night supper club that my friends and I have once a month, and there's a couple girls in that group that will socially smoke. So I thought, God, that's going to be hard when I get there and somebody offers me a cigarette. And then I'm stressing out about a situation that it isn't even in existence.
And did it occur?
No, it didn't occur.
It never even came up.
But if it does come up, or if my thing that I rely on, I think I talked about this on the air the other day, is in my mind, I just go, but that's okay because I just don't smoke anymore. Like, I have a craving right now, but that's okay because I just don't smoke anymore. Or this may be a potentially difficult situation, but that's okay and I'll be okay because I just don't smoke anymore. And I know that's weird and it sounds mind trippy, but the whole thing is a mind trip.
Yeah, and keep
the whole addiction is a mind trip.
But that's cool, though. I mean, like that's what hypnosis is all about.
It sounds weird.
Changing the program, rewiring your brain is what you're doing, and it worked. It's cool.
And I want to remind people that we're not getting paid by the Sean Wheeler dude at all. I mean, this is not a commercial or anything. This is just something that's worked for Jen. And if you're smoking and you're really serious about it, you might want to give the dude a call.
You may want to try it.
Hey, Melissa, good morning. You're on Q100.
Good morning. How are y'all?
Good. Thank you.
I was just wondering, Jen, have you drank any alcohol since you quit smoking?
I have, yeah.
And was it hard then? Because that was something I struggled with a lot.
For whatever reason, it hasn't been. I haven't been drinking a lot. Over the weekend, I went to the North Georgia wineries and did some wine tasting and didn't have a problem there. But I wasn't with anybody who smoked. There was no temptation because there was no cigarettes there. There was nobody saying, hey, do you want one right now? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I quit smoking. My husband didn't. And now it's been 2 years and I'm trying to get him to quit. So I've actually mentioned to him what you've done, but that's going to be one of his struggles because he normally drinks a couple of beers when he gets home, and I'm like, if he's drinking, he's not going to quit smoking.
That's really got to be very difficult when one person in the house is trying to quit anything and the other one continues to do it. Like one person stopped drinking or smoking, or one person starts to eat better and the other one doesn't. Mm-hmm. That makes it really, really difficult.
And I will tell you, if you're going to quit, you have to get rid of everything around you, because I have had moments in the last week that had I had that sort of emergency pack of cigarettes in the back of the junk drawer, or, you know, the one that you can dig out of a purse that you had from 2 years ago and it's in the pocket of your purse, I would have gone to
get it.
It's
all crushed and kind of wet.
You don't care. You'll work your way around that.
In there, I probably would have gone to it. So the fact that I haven't had it around me at all, and the fact that I've told everyone I know that I've stopped smoking, that's helped support me in all of that.
Are you nervous to hang out with friends that do smoke still?
I was actually thinking about it because I have a couple of friends that are coming to this event that I'm hosting tonight, this Life and Style event, one of whom texted me about the hypnosis and wanted to know more about it, and she's coming tonight, and I haven't seen her in months. I'm really excited to see her and hang out with her, but she's one of my friends that smokes, so I actually have had some anxiety about seeing her tonight, but I just keep going back to that. But that's okay, because I just don't smoke anymore.
Same thing as last night, though. It wasn't as hard as you thought, so tonight maybe it'll be the same thing.
Maybe it's not as hard as I'm going to think.
Would it bother you if I told you that Stacey and I are coming tonight?
No, I don't think so, because I would rely on that again. And because Bert's wife is somebody who I love talking to, and we always go out back and smoke a cigarette together. And now I just won't go.
Are you really coming? Or are you jacking with her?
What's that?
Are you really coming, or are you just jacking with her?
No, we're not going.
But we would still hang out and talk, and I know that we'll hang out and talk, and I know Stacey will stop when she's ready to stop. So there's going to be no, like, you know, pressure. Like, I don't need to become some anti-smoking crusader or anything like that. It's just for me. I don't want that in my life anymore. It was such a negative part of my life, and was so embarrassed and ashamed by it. And it was one part I hated about myself.
Are you a little bit skeptical of yourself as the words are coming out of your mouth? Like, you've probably said these things before, and then you've gone back smoking. So now you're saying these things about being shamed about it. Is there any part of you that thinks, I shouldn't say those things because I've always gone back to cigarettes?
I'm not afraid of failure in my life anymore, so no, I'm not afraid to say it.
Hey, Sally, good morning. You're on Q100.
Hey there, how are you doing?
Super. How are you?
I'm good. I'm just listening to you guys, and I mean, I can relate to everything y'all are saying. I mean, I've smoked for, 23 years now. Tried everything. My family smoked. My friends smoked. So that's, of course, always an excuse to keep smoking. I've got 4 kids, though, and want to quit. I've tried everything. And just wanted to find out a little bit more about Sean Wheeler and the program. And, I mean, I can relate to everything she's saying, because you can make up so many excuses in your head. And
At this point,
I'm willing to try anything.
Yeah, and I think if you change your mind about it, you can do anything. People do amazing things in changing their life every day. This could be a small thing for you, but it could be a huge thing, too. You know what I'm saying? Like, your mind can make you do anything you want to do.
And I love that if it doesn't work the first time, you can go back to him again. He said, like, this is a lifetime deal. I'll always be there for you.
Yep.
Not you specifically. I'm just saying for listeners that go.
And I'm going to go back for a follow-up. I'm supposed to go back next week. So in 2 weeks.
Hey, The Bert Show.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
The Bird Show.
All right, so let's get the boss on here. I think we've all sort of like, this is, it sort of concluded, but it didn't conclude.
Yeah.
Everybody's asking about this on email.
Because, I mean, the listeners picked, what, Jill? Is that her name?
Jenny. Sally.
Jenny. I'm sorry. The listeners picked Jenny to get the raise and not Sally. Mm-hmm. And so that was the definitive answer. It's like, okay. But then Sally said, you know what? I'm going to make a stink about even that, because she accused us of fixing the results of the poll. So
she was going to go back to the boss and say it's not legit, whatever. So you guys have wanted to know what's going on in the office since then. So Sally's boss is back with us, but we can't remember what fake name we assigned to him before. You guys remember?
Ooh. Boss Man.
Why don't we just call him Boss Man?
Boss Man, you back.
Boss Man, yeah.
You're the Boss Man.
That was probably it.
So you're on the voice disguiser now, and this hasn't totally concluded. When Sally, were you listening when the results were discussed and Sally lost that day?
No.
So she came back into the office, or Jenny came back in the office? How'd you find out who got the raise?
Oh, I guess, I don't know what the results were exactly. I mean, I could have been listening.
What do you mean?
That sounds like I would have been listening, right?
Okay, but I thought the agreement was that whoever, you know, won the listener vote would get the raise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, and you don't know what the results are yet?
Well, I don't know. I didn't know how much of a landslide it was. I know that Jenny got it.
Okay.
Okay. So you just don't know that.
You don't have exact percentage. Numbers.
Right. Right.
Okay. So when Sally comes into the office that morning, does she tell you who won, or does Jenny call you first, or how do you find out?
I could be listening to the radio. I mean, well, I guess. I don't know.
I'm so confused.
Are you drunk?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
What has gotten into you?
Are you hungover?
No, I just.
It's a pretty simple question.
It's your guys' evil plan.
Huh? What?
It's your evil plan.
Evil plan for what?
Yeah, Jenny called me. Jenny called me right away to brag.
So you weren't listening the morning we announced the results, but you got a phone call from Jenny right afterwards and said that she won.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So did you give Jenny the raise?
Yes.
Okay. And does Sally still work there?
Sally still works there.
Okay, so what has the atmosphere been like in the office since this whole thing went down?
Sally is less than pleased, but it was such a trip for everyone to be on the radio that she can't really act like a therapist.
It was a trip for everybody to be on the radio, so she can't act like a what?
Sourpuss.
Yeah, okay. She's taking it okay. She obviously wishes she got the money, but...
Is there any tension between her and Jenny now?
A little. I mean, it's probably a little tension between Sally and everyone. Sally wished she got some money.
Have there been any repercussions for you? Like, has your boss found out how this all went down?
He did, but he doesn't mind. He thought it was kind of fun.
Something doesn't smell right to me. Like, you sound so strange today.
Smell
like
a sourpuss.
Like, I'm wondering if you got pressure from in the office, like this was unprofessional to do, because you don't sound like the same dude.
What's happening right now? You're not recording this, are you?
No, we're on the air right now.
Yeah, you tell us what's happening right now.
We're on the air.
I haven't gotten any like negative repercussions. Like, my job isn't being threatened.
Is someone's job being threatened?
No. It was no one's job is being threatened. Jenny got the raise, and I would say that Sally deserved it more, honestly, if we were being honest, and if I had to chosen it myself. But
is there something you can't say on the air right now?
Yeah, we're just going to bail because there's something not right.
Yeah. Is Sally there with you?
Yeah. I mean, everybody's calling up pretty much saying the same thing now that they said.
And you're
the last
boss?
Time we had this guy on?
Yeah.
That they all should be fired.
Yeah.
Weird.
Including the boss now. Before it was just Jenny and Sally. Now they're lumping the boss into it.
He doesn't sound like much of a boss.
Hey, Sherry, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
Confused.
Yeah,
good.
Weird. Because he's gone now also.
Well, is he crazy or what? He says this is y'all's evil plan. It was his idea.
Yeah.
To do the contest.
Exactly.
It's weird.
You know,
very
it's
weird. Yeah, and he sounds so wishy-washy. He doesn't sound like he's got any you-know-what.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, he came on and told all of Atlanta and everybody else, you know, whoever got the most votes would get the raise. And then he says, am I being recorded? It's like you're on the radio.
I'm curious. I wonder if, like, he got some pressure from his boss and, like, wasn't supposed to come on or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And did Tracy, like, strong-arm him to come on?
I don't think so.
Well, and then, of course, and then he throws out how he thought that Sally, is that her name, Sally? Is
mm-hmm.
that her name? I don't know, I can't remember her name today. Sally deserved the raise more. So that only is going to add fuel to the fire.
Right.
You know,
confused.
Way to go, dude.
Bizarre.
Hey, Tori.
Hey, good morning.
Weird. Hey.
Are you sure this is a legit company? It sounds like they may be trying to pull one over on you guys.
That could
it
be.
It does.
It could be.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think they just wanted to be radio famous.
Maybe.
Radio famous, that's so overrated.
Didn't get you very far a couple weeks ago, did it?
I'm leaving for TV.
Hey, Kim, good morning. You're on Q100.
Hello?
Hey.
Okay. What's going on?
Right,
yeah.
I just want to leave.
Wow.
I just want to leave now.
Take me to my safe place.
Can we end the show at 7:45?
Can we get back under the covers?
Yes.
Maybe Brittany will come. Maybe Brittany will come in early today.
Hey, Michelle, good morning.
Like an 8.
Hey, guys. I wish I would just cut him off. He sounds like such a tool between the slurred words and the heavy breathing. It's kind of creepy.
Yeah.
It just, none of it sounded right today. Like, I'm starting to think the same thing that other caller said, that maybe we were all, maybe they're snowing us off for the whole
I hope
last
so,
couple
because
of weeks.
No, I think would not want to work for him. God.
I don't think it's, I think it's just a small, tiny, backwards company, and the guy doesn't, he's not a boss. He's a yes man for somebody else, and he probably, I'm guessing he got in trouble, but, you know, from his boss for coming on with us, but he still wanted to be on the radio.
I'm so not satisfied with the conclusion of that.
I don't want to talk to them anymore.
No, that's not
No.
Get it. The Burt Show.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.